Stocks in India halt a two-day rally with data set to show the coronavirus pandemic put the brakes on economic growth. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. While the unemployment rate has surged to a record high of 24%, the economy is expected to have grown at its slowest pace in 2 years in the January to March quarter. But the economic and human toll is continuing to mount in India. Some experts say the COVID-19 outbreak won't peak until June or July, and already the number of deaths in the country has increased to 4,706, surpassing the reported death toll in China. Migrant workers have been among the hardest hit segment of the population, as the BBC's Arunaday Mukherjee reports.
There's a crowd of nearly 25 to 30 migrant laborers taking shelter under a tree in the scorching heat of Delhi. They are India's working class, and every day the COVID-19 outbreak brings a new challenge for them. With 18 million entrepreneurs shutting down their operations, daily wage laborers have no certainty on whether there will be jobs to go back to.
We're helpless. We can't send money home. By taking our jobs away, they're snatching away food from our mouths.
Many of these laborers across the country can be seen piling onto overcrowded trucks. Others are left with no choice but to travel on foot for miles and miles. 122 million people have lost their jobs since March alone, and the International Labour Organization has warned that 400 million workers are at risk of falling deeper into poverty during this crisis. Not just the very poor, but even lower-income jobs like Pinky Dixit's are on the line. She works as a cleaner in Delhi's middle-class homes and now fears that her employers could ask her to go.
There are no savings to depend on. We have to work every day so that we can afford food and basic living.
And it's not just those already in the job market, but with millions joining India's workforce every month, the pandemic's economic cost on India's youth may be irreversible. Mr. Mahesh Vyas, who's the CEO of the Center for Monitoring the Indian Economy, tells me that we're looking at massive long-term ramifications.
Youngsters who are unable to find jobs today are unable to save for tomorrow. So the country is going to see a large population with low incomes and no savings.
The statistics tell their own story. 60 million people who lost their jobs this month were below the age of 30. The fate of millions hangs in the balance. And it's not just about saving lives, but also livelihoods.
The BBC's Arunaday Mukherjee there. Global shares are slumping ahead of a press conference from President Trump later today. He'll be responding to China's tightening grip on Hong Kong. The Hang Seng fell 0.7% today, while China's Shanghai Composite Index ended mostly flat. European benchmarks are down more than 1%, while U.S. stock futures point to a slightly lower open. The coronavirus pandemic has forced us to think about ways the economy works and doesn't work. In retail, companies have been forced to think more creatively to stay in business as cities emerge from lockdown. The Augustas Yerbarboa Cafe in Vilnius, Lithuania, reopened about 2 weeks ago. But with customers obligated to stay outside, its boss, Patrick Ribas, has been trialing a new collaboration with a local clothing designer to fill the unused space inside. He explains what's now occupying those tables where customers used to linger over a social drink.
The mannequin sitting there. We open some magazines, we put glasses of champagne, we put the clothes of the boutique, and we write what boutique. And then people passing by, looking, photographing, everything, you know, publishing.
And how did you come up with this idea?
It was an idea of my friend Bernie that have a restaurant as well, Cozy. We thought to make something a little bit different. So we collaborate all together, all the restaurants. We spoke everybody with the association of restaurants, and we decided to make this kind of project because it's fun and different. And we are all united in these difficult times, you understand? In difficult times, the only thing that can keep us together and to make run everything back if we support one and each other. It doesn't matter if it's a boutique, restaurant, we need to be united.
So this is not just a thing that your cafe is doing, but this is something restaurants all over the city are doing?
Yes, I think we're around maybe 15 restaurants.
Is this a mutually beneficial business relationship? What do you get out of putting mannequins with a designer dress on in your cafe?
Honestly, I'm only losing from this, but it's not about me only. Now it's about the other as well.
Do you notice more people coming into the cafe? Is it drawing more customers in?
For sure, some different interest. You know, people are going, making a photo shoot of this and everything. The first reaction, people felt a little bit weird, you know, what's going on here. But after we explain and we show them that it's a nice promotion for boutiques that having a really difficult time now because the tourists are not here and the people not wasting money for new clothes and everything. A lot going to see after this in the boutique. So it's a different atmosphere, but I think very positive.
Patrick Ribas, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Well, is that a blueprint for the future of retail? I put that question to Catherine Shuttleworth, an analyst at Savvy Retail.
I think the future of retail is going to be very different. But I think one of the things about retail is it's very inventive. And collaborations of lots of different kinds, whether that be on a small scale at a local level or at a very big scale internationally, I think we will see more and more of over the coming months. And we will rethink what retail space needs to look like.
To that point, bricks and mortar was already kind of falling out of fashion well before coronavirus. So has this pandemic just sped up the need for shops to integrate more technology and e-commerce in a more meaningful way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, e-commerce, really, if you've not had an e-commerce business during the pandemic, you will have suffered at a much, much greater rate than any other business. So e-commerce is really fundamental to your future. It can be a kind of click and collect proposition where you go down to your local store, you ring them up on the telephone, and they have a box of goods ready for you to pick up. And I think what we'll see is technology being used in different ways, not necessarily really complicated ways, to get products to the shopper.
And when it comes to physical retail, we're seeing, as shops reopen around the world, longer lines snaking outside as they limit people in and socially distance you on the sidewalk. Perhaps people's appetite for doing that might dry up in the long run. So what will the in-store retail experience look like in a post-COVID world?
We were moving into a world where what bricks were left, we were putting big experiences in. So things like more beauty bars, more cafes, places that you could spend with your friends. Unfortunately, in a post-COVID world, they're going to disappear. And what will happen is that a lot of retailers won't open up all of their retail space again. They will have less stores and they'll focus more in terms of what their online proposition looks like. And I think big super cities where we've gone shopping, so places like New York and London and Madrid and Paris, in the short term will really struggle because we won't be traveling to those places and we won't want to be going into those kind of stores. So I think in the short term, there's going to be a return to shopping locally. And in the longer term, those big stores and those big places are going to have to rethink what their proposition looks like.
Lots of chains certainly on the horizon. Catherine Shuttleworth, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.